We're starting the Sefer Ner Mitzvah from the Maral al Hanukkah. The beginning of the Sefer brings the Nevuah. Brings the Nevuah from Sefer Daniel. Vishnas Chadal B'Shatza Melech Bavel, the first year of King Belshazzar, Belshazzar. Daniel Chelem Chazar, Daniel saw a dream, had a dream. Chazoy v'chazvei reisha mishkavei. He had visions of his head as he laid upon his bed. And k'sav reish mil namah. And he wrote the dream down. Ona Daniel v'amar, Daniel responded and he said, Chazoy heves b'chazvei yameila. I saw in my vision at night, Baru, and I saw Arba Ruchi Shemaya. I saw the four winds of the heavens, Magichem Yamaraba, stirring up the great sea. So the first thing he saw was four winds coming at once and stirring up the sea, churning the sea. As the sea was churning, Va'arba Chevan Ravavan, four great mighty beasts, Salkan Minyama, they came out of the sea. Shana Damidan, they were different from one another. Kadmaisa, the first beast. Ka'aye was like a lion. The Gafin, and it had wings. Dinasharle, it had eagle's wings. So a lion with eagle's wings. When you look on a parakas of many shoals, you will see a lion with eagle's wings. A winged lion. Kazay, I saw it heavy at the Marit Agape. Its wings were removed, plucked off. Natilus Manara. And it was lifted off the ground. We are raglin, and then it stood on its feet. Kanesh like a person. So you had a winged lion, that the wings were removed. It was lifted off the ground and put upon its feet. Levav Enesh Yayivlay. I saw that it was given the heart of a man. That's prior to this, it didn't have the heart of a man. So that's one beast. Bari Cheva, and I saw another beast. Dami L'Daiv. Looks like a bear. L'Shtachad Hakimas. It was raised up, it raised itself up on one side. Only one side of the bear was raised. L'Tlas Ilulim Bapume. It had three ribs in its mouth. Ben Shine, and the ribs were between its teeth. The Chen Amrle, and it was said, Kumi, get up. Achuli Besasagi. Eat a lot of meat. So you have this bear. It raises itself up on one side. There's three ribs in its mouth, between its teeth. And it said of it, get up, eat a lot of meat.
You said to it?
It says, Amenle, they said to it. Ba'asadana. After this, Kazihavis. So another one, I saw Achri. I saw another one, another beast. Kinemar, like a leopard. Legap and Arba. He has four wings. Daif, like a bird. Algabe, on its back. Barba, Russian. And he has four heads. Lechevasa, to the beast. Vishaltan Yavle, and it ruled. So it's a leopard with the four wings of a bird. It has four heads, and it ruled. That's number three. Pasadane, after this one, Kazava Bechazus Laila, I saw in the vision at night. Va'arachavari Vriya, I saw a fourth one. Dechila, dreadful. Imasne, frightful. Takifa, powerful. Takifa Yaseira, exceedingly powerful. Vishin in the parzel had iron teeth. Ravavon, great ones. Achla, it ate. Amadkara, and broke things into pieces. Vishara Baragle, and it trampled with its feet. Rafsa Vihimishanu and Kalkivasa di Kadme, it's different from the other three that came before it. Vikarna Asarle, they had 10 horns. It's amazing. And then it goes to describe the horns. Mistakal Havas Bakanai looked at the 10 horns. Wa'alu Karan Achre Zira. And among the 10 horns, I guess they were big horns. Among the 10 big horns was a little horn emerged from the 10 horns. Sukkos Benayan Utlas Mekanei Kanmiyasa, and three of the original 10 horns, Isakre, were uprooted Min Kadame, from before it. So there's a small horn, I guess you have 11, 10 big ones, one small one, and then after the small one grew among the 10 big ones, three of the big ones were uprooted from the roots. Ve'ila Anyen Ka'anyen Asha. And in this little horn were the eyes of a man. The Karnada Ufus Mamal Ravavan. And it was a mouth, it was speaking things. Okay, this is as far as we're gonna go right now. Four animals.
It's in Daniel.
Yes, perhaps. We got four animals. Lion.
Where did the animals come from?
From the great sea, after the four winds churned up the sea. Lion, bear, leopard, and then indescribable. The fourth beast, we don't know what it is. Yeah, the first three, you know, they might have had things about them, like wings, different attachments, but at least we know what they were. It's a lion with wings. It's a leopard with wings. It's a bear. But the fourth animal is not described. It just describes it had iron teeth and it's eating and smashing things. And the Maral says that these are the four umas, the four nations, that took the Maluch away from Klal Yisrael. Bavel, Paras Amadai, Yavan and Edom. Bavel is the lion with the wings, that the wings were taken away and it stood up like a person and it had a human heart. Parasamadai is the bear that raises itself up on one side. It has three ribs in its mouth. Between its teeth, eats a lot of meat. Yavan is a leopard with four bird-like wings and four heads, and it ruled. And this fearsome beast that we don't know what it is Edom, was just very, very terrifying, with iron teeth. It consumes everything. It smashes whatever's left. It has 10 horns. And there's one little horn that uproots three of the 10 horns. These four kingdoms, Kadosh Baruch Hu made them great. The kingdoms by virtue of the will of Kadosh Baruch Hu. And these things don't happen on their own. It doesn't happen by coincidence. Kadosh Baruch Hu made a world, And in order for the world to be a world, these nations had to be. It's part of the Seder Olam. Klal Yisrael needs to make it through. These are challenges. They rise up against Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael emerges. So the first question he asks is, why four? There's four great nations that oppose Klal Yisrael. Why the number four? And that must be, there's a kavana behind it. And he brings a medrash in, say, Parshas Bereishis. Reb Shimon ben Lakish, Pasuk Krab and Malchus. He explains the Pasuk with the four kingdoms. Va'aretz Yisrael, and the land was Sayu. Sayu means anyone that would see the condition of creation at the time would be bewildered. Sayu, Mishtaya, incapable of any type of description, formless. Zumachus Bavel. Because Pasuk in Yirmiyah, Perek Yedad, Reisi Yitzaret, I saw the land of Bavel, V'neyatayu, and it's formless. So Yirmiyah called Bavel the land of Tayu. So when the Torah says, in the beginning of creation, that there was Tayu, that means that Kadosh Baruch was planting the roots of Bavel. Vavayu, what's Bayu? Bayu means confusion. Bayu means it's a form of quickness that doesn't give one time to think. It's very difficult to form a thought about it. Everything is done in haste. Zumachus Madai. Madai is Parasu Madai. Shinema Reavilil Havias Haman. They brought Haman with great haste and didn't give Haman time to think. So you see that's characteristic of the Parsim and the Persians. This is what they do. V'chayshik Zumachus Yavan. Chayshik is Greece. Shekshiche named for Yisrael, because Chayshik means darkness, and Greece darkens. They darken the eyes of the Bnei Yisrael. Because they were saying, they decreed, Shaysai Meres Lahem, they decreed, Kisva Keren Ashor, that anyone that owns an ox should inscribe on the horn of the ox, She'em Lachem Chelek V'Lekei Yisrael, that you have no portion in the God of Israel. And like Chazal explained, Dafka on the horn of an ox, because the Bnei Yisrael were chayt in the chet ha'igel, and the Yivanim, this is the Yivanim's way of telling the Bnei Yisrael that right after you were Mekabotai, you left Mitzrayim, you were Mekabotai, you were over the Avodah Zarah, so Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want you anymore, he doesn't care anymore about you. And you should describe on the horns of your oxes that Kadosh Baruch Hu broke, you know, threw you out. Kadosh Baruch Hu deserted you because of what you did to him. So it darkens their eyes. They have no hope. Because if they're in Galus, what's the hope in Galus? I hope in Galus is as difficult, as hard as it is, but Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to take us out. But the Yivanim told the Bnei Yisrael, you're hopeless. No one's coming. Nobody cares about you. Everyone forgot about you. No one's coming for you. The cavalry is not going to come. So you darken their eyes. It's Chayshik. Al Pnei Sahayim, the depths. Zumachus HaRishah. That's Rome. That's Edom. Shein Lachekek Mayatayim. That there's no limits to the depths of the gullus of Edom. We don't see the end. Matayim is in the Cheker. They have no end to the depths. Afar Hashem King. Ruach Elokim Rachefes. The Ruach, we translate it as the Spirit. The Spirit of God hovers over the water. Zeruch HaShemelech HaMashiach. After all these nations emerges the Ruach, the life force of Melech HaMashiach. It says in the Pasuk, V'nacha Alav Ruach Hashem. Be'ezus Chosim HaMashiach Shavah. Mashiach is called the Ruach of Hashem. And what's chus is going to come? Rachefes al pnei ha'mayim. Mashiach comes because of the water. B'schus ha'tshuva. Mashiach comes b'schus the tshuva, shenim shalak ha'mayim. Tshuva is like water, shenemar, shifchi kamayim libech. So the Nevuah of Daniel in Perek Zayin of Daniel was his vision of the creation of the world. When Hashem created the world, Hashem created this, the lion, the leopard, the bear, the leopard, the indescribable creature, the four winds, Dafka four winds, Dafka four creatures. And this is what Daniel was shown. Hashem showed Daniel Bir Silo. Hashem is Bars, when he created the world, Seder Elu Dal Malchias. This was done with a Seder. There's an order. We can use this law, Mazza, Velamazza, Sidra, Hashem is Bach, Velam, Shidal, Machias, by four. Why these? Beerza. Kiroy, Shi, and the Mazam, Eludal, Machias, Brish, Sabria. Kiludal, Machias, Shem, Maisam, Eilam. Laya Rak Bishra ki Yeshi Eilam, Sha'olam and Hashem is Baruch, Sha'ol Azab Alei Chisaron. Kadosh Baruch Hu is perfection. In this world, we don't see a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Somehow Hashem did that. It's not clear how. Somehow Kadosh Baruch Hu did that. That he created something at a time, at a stage that all there was a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and anything that's created has to come from him because there's no other source for anything. That means he's the source of it, and the source is somehow removed from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is a side which we'll never understand in this world how it's possible. That before the world was created, all there was a Kadosh Baruch Hu. All there could be was a Kadosh Baruch Hu. There isn't anything outside of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's the only being, the only entity that exists. There's nothing else. No, Hashem can't kiviyachu go to a store somewhere else in some other universe and buy some DNA, some flesh and blood, and build something with it. He can't do that. It's all of existence is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And then Kadosh Baruch Hu, somehow or another, created something from himself that's outside of himself. It's impossible. Okay? It is impossible. We don't understand it, we'll never understand it. But the one thing we do understand is once Kadosh Baruch Hu was finished creating, so he created a world that we don't see Kadosh Baruch Hu in the world. And that means anything that you don't see a Kadosh Baruch in the world means there's a distance between Kadosh Baruch that is total and complete without any chesaron, and then there's something that has a distance, has like a mechitza, a chatzitza, between our world, between our existence, and that which is shalom without chesaron. And separating yourself from shleimus is chesaron. You can't separate from shleimus. When you separate, when you go away from perfection, if you have a mathematical equation, and the answer is 4, so the further you get away from 4, the more chesaron. If you made a mistake and you think the answer is 5, That means you've traveled from perfection. So that means you're wrong. And it means there's something missing. Six, you're missing even more. And seven, you're missing even more. But the slightest deviation from perfection is chesaron. That means HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world, that the world has an appearance of the tzura, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not found in this world. Hashem is kiviyachol removed from the world. So he's saying a very stark avart. That Bria, by definition, is chesaron. Creating something that has the appearance of something outside of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, like the way we view God. We believe in God. We're down here. God's up there. And let my kids say, God's in the sky. Hashem's in the sky. Everyone knows Hashem's in the sky. He's in the sky. God's up. We're down here. We believe in him. He watches us. He takes care of us. He rewards us. He cares about us. But he's up and we're down. That means that we are chaser. We are distant from God. If we are a separate entity from God, we're a separate entity from perfection. If you're a separate entity from perfection, that means you are missing out. So that's the first yisoid, that the creation of the four nations, these wicked nations, that they exemplify chesaron, they exemplify anything you could possibly imagine about being chaser, they're so far from perfection. They're going the opposite direction from perfection. They are in the very roots of creation. It's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and Hashem decided, you know, it would be a good idea if we had Bavel. It'll be a challenge for the Bnei Yisrael. It's a good idea. You know, once we're doing Bavel, let's do Paras and Madai. And you know, Paras and Madai, yeah, Yavin too, and then Adayim. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is creating challenges and adversaries for the Bnei Yisrael, and tests that we have to overcome, let's see what the Bnei Yisrael do over here, see how they do over there. If that was true, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have created them the minute before they needed. Hashem would have created Bavel right before when it's time to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And Hashem would create Paras and Madai right then. But it says in this Medrash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created these nations at the very roots of creation. Why is that? They weren't needed then. Did anyone need Paras? Who needed Paras and Madai in the Sheish Shemei Bereishis? Do we need them then? Because creation means these four nations. These Malchiyos, each one of them, is Mamayit, diminishes from the Kav of Hashem in the world in their own special way. That's what they do. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, that's a Maisa of being Mamayit Kvod Shemayim. It's humbling, but yeah. Bryas Ha'olam is an act of creation of Miyat Kvod Shemayim. Hashem created a world that he's hidden. That's Miyat Kvod Shemayim. So it's interesting, he says an interesting word, that the Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't create evil. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't make bad. And any evil in the world, at least the initial evil, is not a direct creation of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's a result of creating a world that you can't, a Kadosh Baruch Hu is not evident, he's not clear. Second like Mela. Kadosh Baruch Hu created a world that his shleimus is not clear. So now that world is going to have, it's going to be a flawed world. Hashem didn't create the flaw. The flaw is on its own. Hashem does not create chesaron. Chesaron is created funzichalim. You know what funzichalim means? Mitzakalayim, it's a natural consequence of creating a world that you can't see Hashem directly. From Mitzakalayim means by from it itself. Mitzakalayim. And that gives the kayak to these nations to rule in the first place. It's a powerful thing. The ability of Bavel to wage a war against Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael in the Makom HaMikdash, the kayak comes from Bias Island. If you have one central point, one point of perfection. How many ways are there to depart from that central point? Where else is there only four? You have a central point where everything is perfect. And you're departing from it. You put a dot on a piece of paper. So you could depart from it to the north, to the south, to the east or to the west. That's all you have. Any other direction is a combination of those four. There's northeast, there's northwest. Those aren't directions on their own. Because north and northeast don't go in two opposite directions. You understand that? If you're going north and you're going northeast, you're also going north. Northeast is not a direction on its own. Southwest is not a direction. It's not original. Because you're going south, you're also going west. There's only four original ways to depart from a central point. If you're going west, you're not going north at all. You're not going south at all. And you're not going east at all. If you're going north, it's an original direction. It's an original departure. If you're going north, it's the opposite of south. It's at a 90-degree angle to east and west. There's no east and west and north. There's only four ways to go away from perfection. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perfection incarnate, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu creating a world that you can't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world is removing oneself from perfection incarnate. They have a flawed universe that you don't see perfection, that there's a distance from perfection. So how many ways are there to be distant from perfection? What? Up and down. Up and down is not a direction. Up and down is a chibur of Shemayim V'aretz. The number four is not a good number. The number six is a fantastic number. And the number seven is the number six, except you're counting the point in the center. And the number eight is beyond. This is all these things, you've heard these things before. The source of all these things we've heard about the numbers is from this Maral. He's going to get to the fours and then the sixes, you know, the fives. And so it's like it's set up, this is very, very clear. The Mela, the other nations, their creation has to be in the beginning of the creation of the world. Because it's not like HaKadosh Baruch Hu created those four nations actively. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, that there's a different distance between HaKadosh Baruch Hu's total shleimus, totality, and the world. And when you distance yourself from a central point that's perfect, there's four ways you could do it. You could walk forwards, away from it. That, you know, your future, your destiny is not pointed towards attaining Shleimus. You could view your origin as not coming from the point of Shleimus. That means that your Avar is not from there. The right side means that, you know, your Iker Your ikar, your power, your ikar is not makusha to the shleimus. Only part of you, or small, you could go out, you know, the small. It's front, back, right, left. That's the weaker, departure.
What's small?
Small is departing in the oifen of weakness. That's just a strong departure. So you're going off a little bit. You're going off the weaker part of the person. The ikar part of the person is not departing. In front, behind, right, left, northwest, east, south. That's the side of Eretz Yisrael being in the center of the world. Yerushalayim is in the center of Eretz Yisrael. And the Beis Hamikdash is in the center of Yerushalayim. Because Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, and the Beis Hamikdash are the places that they're closest to what reality is at the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, before things separated and went out and deviated from the central point. So it's Yisrael and Yishalayim and the Makom Mikdash relate to Metzias before the world was created. They're the place on this world which relates the most to the real Metzias, to reality, before Hashem created the world and created this distance between totality, perfection, and that which departs from perfection.
Basically, this supersedes this separation?
The Makom HaMikdash doesn't. I'm saying the Makom HaMikdash was created, it's a physical place that was created afterwards. That's the Avodah. The Avodah is Hashem put us in a world that the world is going away from Him. You know, the constantly expanding universe, the Big Bang, the constant family, you know, the world is going further and further away from a central point. And our avoda is to reverse that trend. That we're supposed to see in Bavel and Parsa Madai, in Yavin and Edom, that there's four different directions, four different ways. That they're going in four different directions, but they're all trying to accomplish the same thing. So it's a four-pronged attack. So what are these four things trying to wipe out? The four is trying to, they're all trying to wipe out the same thing in four different ways. So if you follow their ways, you get further away from the Kadosh Baruch Hu. If you trace them back to their source, you can actually come to Emunah from the way people oppose the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the same thing. You come to Amunah by the way the nations oppose the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So before he gets to the animals, so that's why these four nations, I mean, before Bavel there were nations that opposed Klal Yisrael also. If you want to count Mitzrayim, Amalek, the Chivi, the Ruzi, the Plishtim,
Amalek,
Amon, Maya, very good. So what sets these four apart? What sets these four apart is that they were nothings until they overcame Klal Yisrael. Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Bavel, was a nobody. He was the first king of Bavel. He had nothing. In the second year of his reign, he mounted a campaign against Klal Yisrael. And he achieved greatness by defeating Klal Yisrael. The nations in Eretz Yisrael, they had their own sources of being great. They didn't become great nations by defeating Klal Yisrael. I mean, they didn't defeat Klal Yisrael. They actually didn't. They were great nations. They were powerful nations. People were scared. Sichon Melech Amori, Og Melech Bashan. The Bashan people, they were Chashuva people. They didn't get that way by fighting Klal Yisrael. Nebuchadnezzar was a nobody. He was a nothing. He became a melech on the whole world. And the way he did it was by defeating Klal Yisrael. He was Matzliach. People looked at him and said, he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. He's awesome. He's great. He's going to rule the whole world. He ruled the whole world by virtue of conquering Eretz Yisrael, exiling the Bnei Yisrael, and destroying the Beis HaMikdash. The entire world shook because of him. There was no one that would stand up to someone that could do that. Because at the time, the rulers of the world were Klal Yisrael. The entire world was paying tribute to Klal Yisrael. Shlomo HaMelech was the Melech on the entire world. He was Melech Mekipa. He ruled over the entire northern hemisphere, either directly or the right. They paid him tribute. Shlomo HaMelech, Klal Yisrael ruled over everything. And Nebuchadnezzar, by conquering Klal Yisrael, took that from them. So his Malchus was Klal Yisrael's Malchus. Klal Yisrael's Malchus differs from that of the Umas Ha'ilam. The Umas Ha'ilam is a self-serving Malchus. Melech, by the Goyim, a Melech, he's a Melech in order to enhance his own covet, to become more and more powerful. That his kingdom should become a powerful kingdom, and it should be him. It's him that's becoming great. And the definition of Malchus by Klal Yisrael is that they're spreading a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus. Malchus by Klal Yisrael means to give the world back to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the definition. Malchus by the Goyim means to solidify the hold of the ones that are covering up a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus. The word Malchus by Klal Yisrael and the Malchus by the Umas Ha'ilam are antonyms. They are diametrically opposed to one another. They're mutually exclusive. The word Malchus means two different things. Opposite. By Klal Yisrael, the word Malchus means to take the world and give it back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even though we don't see him, and even though it seems as if this world is distant from him, and even though that's a flawed world, but we're going to make the world whole again by giving it back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're going to pierce the veil, go behind the curtain, and see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not hidden from the world. He's very much here. And the world is run by him. And he's a part of the world. And therefore the world is Shalem. Yerushalayim is Yerushalayim. It's a city of Shalem. Shlemus. And the Malchus of the Umas is the opposite. They don't want a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not here. We have a flawed world. We have a world where Kadosh Baruch Hu is not here. Everyone can do what they want. And they're interested in furthering that. When Nebuchadnezzar conquered Eretz Yisrael, there was a Nitzachon over the ones that are covering over Kvayt Shemayim.
Those four nations were the only four that wanted to remove God from the world?
They're the only ones that were Matzliach in taking the covet of the Malchus of Klal Yisrael and absorbing it into themselves. They say our definition of Malchus is going to supersede your definition of Malchus, because we're going to conquer you, we're going to exile you, we're going to destroy you. And now the definition of Malchus is the way they dictate, not the way Klal Yisrael dictates. And that's what made them great. And Paros HaMadai, they became great. How did they become great? They conquered Bavel. So they took the godless of Bavel away from Bavel. Where did Bavel get their godless? From Klal Yisrael. So they became great because they hit and they took over Klal Yisrael. And those of us that have studied Megillas Esther, you see how, I use the word paranoid, but it was a real fear, how neurotic they were about Klal Yisrael coming back to Eretz Yisrael and building the Beis HaMikdash. Because coming back to Eretz Yisrael and building the Beis HaMikdash is you have the one nation coming back to the one city, to the one Beis HaMikdash, and bringing the world back from four to one. And what happens to the four when that happens? So Paros HaMadai, they knew that the greatness, they're great only because they took over Bavel. And why is Bavel great? Because they took over Klal Yisrael. So they conquered Bavel, they conquered Klal Yisrael. And the greatness of Klal Yisrael is by them. And Yavan did the same thing. And so did Adam. They got their Malchus, the Arba Umais are distinct because they all got their Malchus from Klal Yisrael. Without Klal Yisrael, they're nothing. And they're only Melech because Klal Yisrael is a Melech, and they rule over. If you rule over the Melech, then you're the Melech. Okay, we'll stop here. Rabbi Nachman.